Good morning. Well, it's 6:30. I think it's almost 7 o'clock. So, but I still see the sun. So it's still morning. So, thank you for introducing me to all that gathered here for this forum this evening. I welcome you to this congregation, and also thank you for bearing with us when we share with you our predicament and also our tasks in responding to the clamor of our people. Actually, the title, A Persecuted Church, A Persecuted People, I just realized that even if we took away that one, a persecuted church, and then we have a persecuted people, that people still comprise the church. And I just would like to share that the persecuted church is not necessarily the Iglesia Filipina Independiente or the Philippine Independent Church, but us who are gathered today. As I have been introduced, I am one of the members of the Council of Bishops who are meeting tomorrow and up to the first day of September. These are regular meeting of the Supreme Council of Bishops of the Iglesia Filipina Independiente. As a bishop myself, I have been with other bishops, whether Catholic and Protestant groups, for our responses as a church in regards to peace and justice advocacy in the country, in the Philippines. And most that I have been with is the Philippine Ecumenical Peace Platform. This is an organization or an alliance of major religious congregations in the country that is counterparting with the Norwegian Ecumenical Peace Platform. Because the ongoing, no, it's terminated now, but in times past, the Philippines, due to civil war, is encouraged to resume the peace talks between the government of the Republic of the Philippines and that of the National Democratic Front of the Philippines. And so, the Philippine Ecumenical Peace Platform is an alliance, a broader alliance of religious congregations in the country that partnered with the two panels in the continuation of the peace talks. This peace talks is bannered with a theme that should address the root causes of why there is conflict, there is armed conflict in the country, in the Philippines. So Philippine Ecumenical Peace Platform is really a relevant organization among churches, among church leaders in the said place. And in Mindanao, I chaired the initiatives for peace in Mindanao. This is also a broader coalition among multi-sectoral organizations. Thrust of this organization is to respond to people's clamor for justice and peace. And this work actually, especially in the year 2000, made me one of those included in the order of battle list of the Philippine Army. It was during the time when Joseph Estrada was the Philippine President. Today, that list of being part of the order of battle, which was then written on some paper, now finds life, as Joe would tell us. My name is now written on our church walls, on streamers, and even on leaflets. Just like this one, down with the terrorists in PA and their comrades in the IFI. Although, of course, I was only fifth in the trunk. among the clergy of the AFI. Both of these the names like Father Apos and then Father Ablon, Bishop Ablon, Father Abejo, they belong to one church, the Iglesia Filipina Independiente. I, together with them, are called a rebel supporter or a new people's army. But one of the congressmen in our place called me a consultant of the National Democratic Front. But of course, this is another streamer that was hung just across the church where the bishop is billeted. This building is actually the elementary school. It's a public school just across the church. I tell you that since December of 2018, and every month thereafter, our names are always hanged in conspicuous places, not only adjacent to the church, but even in conspicuous places in the city of Cagayan de Oro. Leaflets had been given even in malls and hotels. But of course, I am not alone in this predicament, because my other brother bishops in the AFI, notably Bishop Ablon, Bishop Antonio Ablon, and some other priests. Bishop Ablon is assigned as the bishop in the diocese of Pagadian. If Cagayan de Oro is at the central part of Mindanao, and Mindanao is the third island of the Philippines, the biggest island, Luzon upward, and then at the center is Visayas Islands, and down is Mindanao. Cagayan de Oro is situated within the center of north-central of Mindanao. The other bishop who is also tagged is the Right Reverend Antonio Ablon, and his diocese is somewhere in the northwestern part, a section of the diocese of the island of Mindanao. As I said, I am not alone, because even that bishop was incarcerated for more than a year, and he was now on bail. Actually, today is the schedule of hearing. The Right Reverend Carlo Morales, he is the bishop of the Diocese of Ozames, somewhere in the northwestern part of Mindanao, a neighbor of the other bishop, Bishop Ablon, is also one of those who had been notably tagged along with us. And not only that, along with us are, as I said, clergy of the AFI, and most recently, even the Supreme Council of the Iglesia Filipina Independiente was tagged along with us during the time when we have a conference held within the Diocese of Libertad, just adjacent or a neighbor of the Diocese of Cagayan de Oro. Of course, when we are not also alone, the AFI is not also alone, because some other churches, particularly the Church of Bishop Eli Pascua, the United Church of Christ in the Philippines, is even equated as NPA, meaning New People's Army. And so they, Bishop Eli, is also part of the terrorist organization or armed groups in the country. Together with some other organizations like the Teachers, the Alliance of Concerned Teachers, the United Church of Christ is also being tagged as NPA. And in fact, one of the UCCP pastors, Ernesto Estrella, was just recently gunned down. Imagine how the problem of being red tagged in our country will lead to. Most of these who had been red tagged are running for their lives. The only thing is that we cannot run for our lives because we should always be in our respective churches, attending to pastoral needs of our people, and so on and so forth. This is one of the sisters, of the missionary sisters of Mary, Sister Emma Coppin, who was also being tagged as part of the armed revolutionary movement. There is an ongoing state effort to discredit, to intimidate, to villainize, and even attack church leaders and ordained ministers who are critical to the policies of the government and are strongly supporting sectoral struggles and defending people's rights. Especially in Mindanao, which is under the reign of martial law. Most probably you know Father Tito Paez. No? Church people from various denominations, and that includes not only us, but also the Catholic Church, have been attacked. And some have even been murdered because of their advocacies. For instance, Father Tito Paez is an advocate against large-scale mining. He was not spared. He was killed. He was murdered. Of course, being Catholics who comprise the majority of the population in the country, these killings, like that of Father Tito Paez, become a high-profile issue. On the other hand, the National Council of Churches, these mainline churches, who have also bishops, pastors, and priests working more closely on the ground, have also been subjected to the more vicious attacks, although they have received less media attention. This is very recent, as I said, this is about Bishop Ablon. This is his church. The attacks have become more relentless and targeted. Bishop Ablon was nowhere in his church now. He is on pastoral visit. When this happened, when police barged in at his church in Pagadian, they barged in into the church without due cause and without any search warrant. Bishop Ablon has been a staunch advocate of human rights among the Subanens. This is the Lomads or the indigenous people in the place, against mining and even militarization in the Zamboanga Peninsula. There's also another streamer which hung recently in a recent gathering of Mindanao Bishops Conference within the diocese of Bishop Rudy Hulyada in the diocese of Libertad. Suspected military intelligence men put up streamers outside the venue and even distributed leaflets red-tagging the bishops and the clergy. The UCCP in Davao, the Haran Center, has been frequently harassed by military forces because of housing hundreds of Lumad evacuees who were victimized by militarization in their hinterland communities, particularly in the region of Davao. So we can just imagine how the churches and the church people had been undergoing such persecution in the midst of working for the people in the lands. Sister Emma Coppin, they have solidarity network, especially for sanctuarying Lumad Bakwits and supporting the Lumad schools. And she is being included in a criminal charge of trump up cases by state security forces. So whether you have you are an ordinary person, or even if you are on the bill like that of Sister Emma, or you are a bishop, or a priest, you cannot be spared of being subjected, maligned. Of course, later on, we'll ask Bishop Tagod also to discuss, to share with us about the Negros 14 who had been... when I wrote this, there were 14 who had been massacred. Now, there are about 82 or 87. And on the other part of Negros, in Sagay, this is another municipality, there were also 9 who had been massacred. Brandon Lee, he is an American, Chinese-American, no? An Ifugao human rights worker. He was also riddled by bullets. And until now, I think he's still in the hospital. Even the special rapporteur of the United Nations on indigenous people is not also spared. He was also tagged as part of the revolutionary forces. One outspoken critic of the Duterte administration was the former Commission on Human Rights chairperson, and a senator, Senator Leila de Lima, is still languishing in jail. Not only that, the churches had been harassed and red tagged, but if you are an activist in the Philippines, you will always be under attack. What is the Philippine situation? Why is it that the churches and the activists had been attacked? We have a president that Sister Karen told me a while ago, who is also like her president. And this president is waging a vicious war at all fronts. There is a war on drugs, the war on terror, and an all-out war against insurgency. On the war on drugs, since Duterte came to power in June of 2016, about 23,000 had been killed. Imagine, 23,000 on this war on drugs. Of course, during before he became the president, during the campaign period, he was telling people that his presidency, if he will make it, is to kill drug addicts and throw them into the Manila Bay to feed and fatten the fish. So, true to that statement, 23,000 had been killed. Even Kian de los Santos, a minor, was even killed, even if he plead to be freed from. We can just imagine how suspects on drugs had been killed. On the other hand, while the suspects on drugs had been killed, on the other hand, we can see how this government is being hypocritical. Because while killing those who are involved in war, and especially the poor ones, on the other hand, this incumbency is freeing, allowing the rapist, killer, those who are involved in plunder, to be set free. If you are an activist, if you are a unionist, or if you are a peace consultant, it's either the jail or the cemetery is your home. But if you are a rapist, killer, or if you are a plunderer, you will be set free. And there are plenty of them. And I think most of you here are familiar with the place with those faces. Huh? These three are really very familiar, even in the U.S. These are the Marcoses. Imelda is popular with her, thousands of Jews. This is the eldest daughter, who is now a senator. And this is the only son who lost as vice president. But they are free, even if they have plundered the resources of the country. There is also a war in Mindanao. And, you must know that in Mindanao, not elsewhere, but in Mindanao, that martial law reigns. And it's almost 2 years that Mindanao experienced martial rule. And in fact, there is now a proposal that martial law will be extended to another term. The government had embarked on an unprecedented military adventurism when he ordered the armed forces of the Philippines to pulverize ground zero, the city of Marawi. This is the city of Marawi. This is now the what is left of the quiet place of Marawi City. People are being evacuated to Iligan and elsewhere, and they cannot even if the war is already done, but they cannot yet go back, return to their respective places of abode, because number one, the entire place is really like that of ground zero. No? It's fully destroyed. Evacuation continued to flourish. And in Mindanao, 75% of the armed forces of the Philippines is now deployed in Mindanao. So therefore, there are about 100 battalions in the AFP, and 74 battalions are deployed in Mindanao. You can just imagine, with 74 battalions in Mindanao scattered throughout the island, it is highly militarized. The people most probably in the city or at the center of the municipalities may not feel the brunt of militarization. But in the hinterlands, people had been harassed, people had been killed, people were arrested. No? There are plenty of evacuees, especially the Lumads and the poor farmers. The president would like that insurgency will be gone through by launching an all-out war offensive against the especially the 50-year-old Maoist rebellion in the south. It has promised to wage a bloody campaign similar to that killings of alleged members of the Communist Party of Indonesia under the regime of Suharto, wherein 3 million of Indonesians were killed during the late 1950s. And Duterte would like this model to be done in respect to counterinsurgency. But we must know that the Communist Party of the Philippines is unlike the Communist Party in Indonesia, because the CPP in the Philippines is working underground. Duterte's threats, therefore, instead of translated into sweeping crackdown on human rights defenders and organizations, since they cannot easily get into the insurgents themselves. That's why the churches, being human rights defenders, cannot be spared of, because by doing so, the AFP believe that if they will have a crackdown on human rights defenders and organizations, when these organizations are no longer supporting the insurgency, then the insurgents will come down to the towns and the cities. Mindanao, this is this is Mindanao, and this is a home of 18 million people, comprised roughly with 14 million Christians, mostly farmers and working class families. 1.7 million are indigenous Lumads, while 2.5 million are Islamized or the Moro people. In other words, Mindanao is comprised of the tri people among Christians, Lumads, and Moro. This place is, Mindanao is also called, is known as the mining capital of the Philippines, being host to 23 of the country's 48 largest operating mines, which are located in the province, in the region of Caraga, that is northeastern part of the island. And because of that, you can imagine how the land of Mindanao is being destroyed because of extracted mining industries. And this is the reason why Mindanao is highly militarized, because people are resisting. They would not like that their ancestral lands will be taken by the extracting mining industries, and even the commercial plantations like pineapple and bananas. No, because of the resistance of the people, the response of the government is to deploy the military and harass them. Those who are afraid will evacuate to the town centers and the cities, while those who are continuing to to resist, they will either be killed or being arrested. So Lumads had been killed. Lumads is killed because they are resisting against foreign investments to extract the land. And while Lumads and farmers, small farmers, had been killed because of resistance, the human rights defenders are not spared also. And even there are already 153 activists, mostly from the Lumad, Moro, and small farmers, were being killed since 2016. These are the human rights violations under the martial law in Mindanao. 535 attacks on schools, and in fact, the Lumad schools are now padlocked. Some were even burned. Because the military would say that these Lumad schools are schools of the insurgents, schools of the revolutionary movement. 111 trumped-up charges were charged against teachers of especially of the Lumads. 73 schools had already been forcibly shut, and 11,500 of the Lumads had been displaced, There were elsewhere in Mindanao, 10 had been extrajudicially killed, and 8,000 Lumadan farmers were forcibly paraded as New People's Army surrenderees, meaning false surrenders. These are the faces of cool children who are whose schools are now either padlocked or burned or destroyed. And they're calling to save their schools and end military attacks. Aside from the war on in Mindanao, the president was also waging a war against his own people, and especially the poor. By way of tax reform, there are already two or three tax reforms which ended up providing misery lives for the people. This taxation is the cause of inflation, which now reaches as much as 7%, setting prices of basic commodities hardly affordable for the workers, for the farmers, and urban poor, which constitute 85% of the Philippine population. Henry C. is owner of the chain of stores, the SM stores. And these stores are practicing contractualization. We were glad then that the president himself promised that contractualization should end within his term. And yet, even when Congress crafted the bill to end contractualization, just recently, he vetoed it. So therefore, we are now really anxious. What is this president doing? Because in the very first place, he'd like to end contractualization because it is not helping the workers. However, in the long run, instead of signing the crafted bill to end contractualization, he even vetoed it so that the workers continued with what they are being done now. There is also a war against the church. The government has waged war on the Catholic and even the Protestant churches. Even the president would tell people to rob your bishops or even kill them. He also cursed Pope Francis because he caused traffic in Manila during his visit. So far, these bishops, aside from that, the fourth one, the three bishops are facing sedition charges. Bishop Villegas, Bishop David, and Bishop Bacani are facing sedition charges because the president would say that these bishops are running after his head. Of course, Father Tito Paez was also sidelined. He was killed together with two clergy. The fourth one survived the attack. Even a nun, Sister Pat Fox, was deported by the government. And not only those who are in the churches, but even human rights defenders who are themselves Attorney Benjamin Ramos was also killed. This is the 34th lawyer who had been killed within the three-year span. So attacks against all people critical to the Duterte administration is going on in the country. But of course, people just continued. For instance, this is one of the responses of the people against this administration. And even during the Sona, the recent Sona, the people also have the United People's Sona, which gathered around 40,000 in Manila. This is only in Manila, 40,000. But if you can, if you'll also count the rest in the country, there are plenty of those who have who are resisting because of what is happening in the land. And so they shout, "Tama na!" So Bishop Carlo, he continued to be responding to his plea so that his case will be resolved. Even the journalist had been slain. We know of this journalist, Riza. And we can just see that what happened in the country is actually it is against the people who are critical to the policies of the government. And because of plenty of people who are now resisting, that's why even the militarized the civil bureaucracy. Secretaries of important, significant agencies in the government are now being directed by military generals, both the DILG, the DSWD. DSWD is about social welfare, but this is now being controlled by the military. And even the PISTOX is now terminated. No, the PISTOX is the fourth in the platform of governance of the which was promised by the then by the president, and yet in the very first place, most probably about 6 to 8 months, he was into it. Only that the military won't allow him to continue with the peace process, and so therefore they terminated it. The peace talks had already crafted the interim peace agreement, which was almost to be signed. However, because the military won't allow him to continue with that, and so the said peace process is now terminated. But the church has continued crying for the resumption of the peace talks so that the armed conflict will be addressed by way of addressing the root causes of the armed conflict. These were pictures when he was yet a mayor. And we know that the president was really of the masses. And in fact, his jargon is about from the masses towards the masses. In other words, he would like his being a mayor or his being a politician to be part of the people. However, that was when he was yet the mayor of a very small place like the city of Davao. Now he is the president. And becoming a president is already another... in fact, during that time, when Lumads were killed, he supported those who raised their voices against stopping the Lumads. Now, he is the president. And being the president, he either control or being controlled by those around him. The church, because there is people who had been victimized by the caprices of those who are in power, the church should become prophets. The church should stand in solidarity with those who are being harassed, those who are being victimized, those who are being killed. However, by doing so, the prophets are also victimized. We prayed in our during our worship that the president and all other those who are in power should lead the people towards a good life, towards an abundant life. However, even our prayers are yet to be responded. During the last month, even in the Iglesia Filipina Independiente, we have this ministry for in order to promote, to preserve human dignity. And during this time, as I said, when we have this conference on human dignity, even those who had been attending, like the Supreme Bishop of the Church, was also being maligned. But even then, the Church should continue to respond in faith of being prophets. That's why the Church responded by raising a ministry of the prophets in order to continue with their ministry with those who are victimized. There are also other churches like that of the Catholic Church who had been doing their share in being prophets. The United Church of Christ is also doing their share, and even asking to stop the red tagging which other church people, church leaders had been experiencing. We continue as a church gathered to call on the government and even the NDFP to resume the peace talks so that in order to address the root causes of why there is armed conflict in our lands. I think we would like to ask the other two panelists, like Bishop Romeo Tagod, to share what happened to Negros and also about Brandon Lee. Thank you.